You can be turning in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. It's where we will begin this morning. Certainly great to see everyone here today. We thank you for being here, those who haven't been able to be. Sister Linda, it's great to see you. It's great to see the ones who are not now out, even though you have been cautious and stayed in. We're thankful, Sister Glenell and others. We hope that soon we can go back to normal, come back and worship as we were normally, and everyone be back. I hope that that's not long in the future that we can do that, and maybe it is. So for now, as we are worshiping as we're able to, I'm grateful to be here and to be with you the times that we can be together. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 31, says, "Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches." You can see in the fingers on the screen that little seed that he is holding, or she is holding, and how small that seed is, the mustard seed. It's one of the smallest seeds that men sow. And it's sowed for its oil and for its flavoring. And yet this tiny seed brings about a great plant. And sometimes the plant is even referred to as a tree because it gets so big. It can grow up to 10 feet tall, which would be pretty much a minimum. And then it can go up to 15 feet tall. They're normally around 10 to 12 feet. But that's big, coming from that tiny little seed. And that's why the scriptures use this phrase, the mustard seed, often in talking about greatness and bigness and going from something small to something very big. There's proverbial uses of the seed. Over in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, for example, where Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, where Jesus said to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." So Jesus uses this tiny seed growing into the great big plant in describing the possibilities of faith. And as we said, a mustard seed has the capabilities of growing very large, as faith has that capability also, to the point that it can even, according to the scriptures, move mountains. And of course, that's figurative. But it's the idea of solving great problems, having a great faith that makes difficulties vanish because of your great faith that you have. Luke chapter 17 and verse 6 also speaks of the mustard seed, and I'm just giving the few of the passages that talks about a mustard seed. But Luke 17 and verse 6 says, "So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it would obey you." It talks about moving a mulberry tree. If you have faith as a mustard seed, a great faith like a mustard seed growing from the tiny seed into a huge plant. And so you can see the proverbial uses of that in the scriptures. But what I want us to do, I want us to read and understand this parable of the mustard seed back in our text that we started at in Matthew chapter 13. And we have read it, and you can have it open and look at it. But we see then verse 31 that it's referring to the kingdom of heaven. So the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. And the kingdom of heaven is starts out as that tiny seed and grows into something big, is the point of Matthew chapter 13 of this parable. And I want us to learn how the church grew during the apostles' ministry. I want us to just look at some examples of its major growth, going from something very small to something large. And, of course, conclude that we are in the kingdom today and we continue to see the church grow. This is kind of a continuation of our last week's lesson when we were looking at the various prophecies. And remember, we looked specifically at the end of the prophecy of Christ and the prophecies of His kingdom. We said you can't separate Christ and His kingdom. Those prophecies go together. But we saw examples of that, of how the Old Testament talked about Christ's kingdom and how it would come about and how it would be very small in the beginning and it would grow into something large. So we're going to continue that by looking at this example of the mustard seed. And I want us to look at the meaning of this parable, in that the kingdom would be small in the beginning. In talking about Jesus and talking about His kingdom, it was always shown to be something that would not be magnificent when it first came, and wasn't magnificent by the standards of the world anyway. But we look in the book of Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1, Isaiah 11 and verse 1, and notice how it's described. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. So you have something small, a stem, a rod from the stem of Jesse, and then it grows into a branch. And remember, we recently talked about also, before our sermon on the various prophecies, talked about the vine and the branches. And so this is all a continuation of this idea and looking at the kingdom of Christ. But when you look at this passage and it talks about a rod from the stem of Jesse, Jesse being David's father. So you have Jesse and then you have David. And as we know, Jesus came from that, coming forth from just this small, as it's described, a rod just from a stem. And then we have been making mention of the prophecy in Daniel chapter 2, and we can mention that again, of the dream that tells of the stone that broke the image into pieces of all the great nations that fell, and then it became a great mountain. Remember, the stone cut out without hands became a great mountain. So again, something small grew into something very large. And I don't have it on the screen, but you can look over in Isaiah chapter 53. I think this is pretty telling also in talking about Jesus and the way that Jesus would come into the world. In Isaiah chapter 53, verses 2 through 3 says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant and as a root out of dry ground." So again, you see something small here. "Has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we did not esteem him." How insignificant was Jesus in the flesh? He was born, didn't have great riches, didn't have former comeliness, just one who, verse 3 says, was despised and rejected. How lowly he was. But then we see, as we said, growing, the kingdom growing into this great mountain. But in order for that to happen, we have to notice how this kingdom began. It started with just 12 men, 12 apostles. You have Jesus who went out and chose these fishermen, chose these just everyday regular guys to be the ones to spread His gospel. Common people with common jobs. Unlearned men, untrained men. And then after He chose His apostles and began evangelizing them, which by the way, He didn't do that until He was about 30 years old. So here He's born into the world, and then 30 years later He chooses these everyday common men, fishermen and men with common jobs. And then He taught for 3 years with His apostles. He converted many along the way, but remember there were few who stayed with Him because they were didn't like His message, as John chapter 6 taught. And they were mostly the ones who stayed poor and uneducated with Him. By the end of His life, He had many more enemies than He did followers. So here you have Jesus and you have His 12 apostles, and then you have the few that were following Him along with the apostles. But then remember what happened before Jesus went to the cross. When they started really cracking down and they're going to arrest Jesus and take Him and kill Him, what did the apostles do? They ran away. Now understand, they're still followers of His because they wind up going to a room to worship on the first day of the week, but they're scared, they're in a locked room. So this is how small the kingdom was. Just a few group of men. But then after, of course, Jesus died on the cross and ascended back into heaven, He told the apostles to go and wait for the Holy Spirit, the Helper, to come. The Helper came, the Holy Spirit came, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. They began teaching, and that's when the prophecy came true in Daniel chapter 2, verses 34, or verse 44, when it says that this kingdom grew to be very large. Started out small, started out insignificant, started out with common men, started out with many who didn't even stay around. And then it grew into something large, and it grew at a phenomenal rate. You look in Acts chapter 2, and we're going to just go through the book of Acts and look at how the church grew once it started. It took it a while. Jesus ascended into heaven. The apostles are waiting for the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit then comes. Peter then preaches his message on the day of Pentecost. And we learn in verse 41 that those who gladly received His word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. So the few who were followers of Christ, now 3,000 more souls had been added to them when they received the word on that day, we're told. Well, we can go a little further to Acts chapter 4 and verse 4. And as Peter and John and the other apostles continued to preach and teach God's word, it says, however, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to be about 5,000, and that was despite the fact that Peter and John had just been arrested for preaching about the resurrection of the dead. And yet, despite that, another couple of thousand obeyed the gospel, and the number came to be about 5,000. You go to Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. And the growth continues. Then the word of God spread, and the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Now, there's not a number on that one, but this is after the seven had been chosen to take care of the Grecian widows that were being neglected in the daily contribution, And these men were chosen. Stephen is about to preach a sermon and he's going to be stoned to death. But in the midst of all this, of course, this is after the apostles have been arrested twice and let go and warned and said, don't preach ever again. And yet, despite all of that, the number of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. So the church is continuing to grow from 3,000 to 5,000. Well, you can go back before that from Jesus and the 12. And then you got the 3,000 added, and then you've got the 5,000, and then you've got even more greatly multiplied in verse 7. And we go to Acts chapter 9 and verse 31. And by this time Stephen has been stoned. Saul started persecuting the church. The church spread from Jerusalem to other parts of the world. By this time in Acts chapter 9 and verse 31, even though the church was being persecuted and had spread out of Jerusalem and was going other places, in verse 31, the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Of course, Saul had obeyed the gospel. He had been shown his error. He began preaching. Others were preaching. And they were spreading the gospel. Acts chapter 21 and verse 20. Acts 21 and verse 20. When they heard it, they glorified the Lord, and they said to him, you see, brother, how many myriads of Jews there are who have believed, and they are all zealous for the law. Myriads of Jews. Again, we don't have specific numbers, but we see this major growth. And through the years, there's major growth. Now, there's growth, and then there's persecution, there's trouble, and then there's growth again, and then there's persecution. But it continues throughout the New Testament, where the number continues to get bigger and the church continues to grow. This growth is certainly beneficial to all of us. When we see this tiny seed, the church started so small and it grows to be a huge kingdom, to the point that Matthew 13 and verse 32 says, the birds of the air come and nest in its branches, meaning it provides the peace and the comfort that we all desire. If we seek the kingdom, seek the Lord, and we want rest, we can have it. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. When we look at that and we look at the growth, that should encourage us because, you know, there's so much persecution. There's so many people against the church. There's so many people against us. Don't worship. There's no, stay away from one another. Don't assemble together, and not just because of this, whatever we're in now. But that's the way of the world anyway. They don't like that we worship. They don't like that we're Christians. And that can get discouraging until we look at the New Testament and we see how despite whatever happened, they continued to grow. And it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And people were added to the church more and more. Well, what can we do? What is our role in all of this? The first thing we need to do is make sure that we too proclaim the gospel. As the apostles caused the kingdom to grow in proclaiming the gospel, we need to do the same. And this is the interesting thing about this that I believe and I really want to stress. The gospel that we have today is the same gospel the apostles had. There's nothing different that we have that they had. It's the same thing. If they were able to take this gospel into the world and spread it and teach, and there were 3,000 souls and 5,000 souls and myriads of Jews and many who heard and believed the gospel, then why can't we? Because we have the same gospel that they did. We have the same truth that they did. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1 verses 23 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 23, says, "Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever." Now remember, we've been talking about the fact that the kingdom's not going to be destroyed, that the kingdom can't be shaken, because all flesh is as grass and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you. It's the same word. And it's a word, it's the gospel that is going to live forever. It's going to always exist. And if we have the same seed as the apostles do, then we can use it in the way that they did. Just like a mustard seed grows bigger than ever seems possible, how can such a tiny seed grow so big? Well, how can such what appears to be such a tiny kingdom grow so big? You think about the kingdom of God during the time of the Assyrian Empire, during the time of the Babylonian Empire, during the time of the Medo-Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, the Roman Empire, how small the kingdom would have appeared to be. And yet, which one is still here? And which one is always going to exist? The kingdom of Christ today. And the thing is, God will use us to make His kingdom grow. Do I have faith in that? Do I believe that? That, okay, I am a branch on the vine, as we talked about. I'm a part of this kingdom that will never be destroyed, this kingdom that will never be shaken. Do I trust that God is going to use me to help His kingdom grow? Now, God is certainly behind this growth, and that's what we have to always keep in mind when we say there's no way it's going to grow, there's no way I can do anything. Well, no, but I can do my part where God causes the increase, which is what 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6 talks about. I planted, Paul says, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. That's something we have to take by faith. We have to know that God will give the increase. He will work in our lives. And as Romans 6 and verse 13 says, that we are simply used as instruments for His purpose. Romans 6 and verse 13. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Why are we going to use our talents? Why are we going to use our time in this world to sin or to help increase sin? But present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Knowing that as we are instruments and God is using us, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, Philippians 4 and verse 13 says. And if we abide in Him, He will use us to produce growth in His kingdom. So as we've been talking about being a part of the kingdom, we've been talking about the prophecies, the promise that Christ is coming, the promise that His kingdom is here, the promise that His kingdom will never be destroyed. And I realize that I am a part of that kingdom. As we keep all of that in mind, then that's going to help us to realize that this kingdom that we are in, this kingdom that we are part of, is the kingdom where we need to be. Yeah, we live in this world, we exist in this world, but this world is not our home. We are a part of the kingdom which will get us to heaven. And I hope that we're all living that way. God's kingdom being like a mustard seed, starting small and growing into a great mountain, let's continue to work in the kingdom, continue to work to make that mountain bigger and bigger, to make the temple bigger and bigger, all the illustrations, the vine with the branches on it, more and more branches on it. Let's work to increase in our faith and in our work. So, are we working in the kingdom? Are we resting in the great tree, the kingdom of heaven, as the illustration gave? We have the opportunity now to become a part of this ever-growing kingdom if you haven't become a part of it, where you can do what's necessary to have your sins forgiven, as Acts 2:38 says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Have you done that? Have you been added to the kingdom? Are you a part of the kingdom, but you're not working in the kingdom? Well, you can correct that. You can change your life and turn back to Him this morning. But if you need to respond to the invitation, we give you opportunity to do that now while we stand and while we sing.
I'm sorry, after listening to the sermon, I think